Praise the Lord Jesus. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to St. John's Gospel. We're going to be looking at chapter 3 this morning. St. John chapter 3, when you get there in your word, we're going to begin picking up the reading at verse 22. What I want to begin to minister on this morning is the testimonies of Jesus. The testimonies of Jesus. John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to him thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves hear my witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that had received this testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Lord Jesus, we come before your throne this morning, seeking after the truth, desiring, Lord Jesus, to hear, understand the testimonies of Jesus. I pray this morning that we would receive your testimony, that we would accept eternal life within us, that we would not turn our hearts aside this morning, we would not close our ears, but that we would allow the Holy Spirit to let us know what has already been seen, what has already been heard, what has already been declared, what has already happened in the testimonies of Jesus. Lord, I give you praise this morning. I honor you and I worship you. I magnify you in the precious name of the only begotten Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You and I have been given an opportunity to know Jesus, not just by name, not just by hearing a Bible story, but see, he's went through a test. He's went through a trial. He's made it through on the other side of glory, and he has a testimony for the world. He has something to say that needs to be listened in on. He has something that he has seen because he's Alpha and he's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Before he came, he saw. Before he did, he knew. Before he conquered, he believed. Before he was risen, he already knew that his Father in glory was going to be the power that got him raised up. See, he has a live and powerful testimony this morning. There's a lot of people that are hearing religious conversations. A lot of people giving some interest in some philosophies of the church or some doctrines on the side. But you know what? There's a scripture verse that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that Paul began to say to the church. He said, I did not come to you with excellence of speech. I did not come to you with a great deal of knowledge and wisdom, but there's one thing that I wanted you to understand, that I let go of everything. Anything I knew, I laid it down. But this one thing, that I know Jesus Christ and understand his crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. See, you can forget about all of the other things. You know, sometimes what you got to do is forget what you've learned. Sometimes you got to forget what you've heard. And you need to get back in the Word of God and understand that there's a live testimony waiting on you to be discovered. Jesus himself has a testimony. You know, I know that he went to the cross, and we talk about the cross. Today is the first Sunday of March. We're going to take communion in the service. We're going to honor and remember what the Scripture says. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do it, do this in remembrance of me. What is that that we can remember about Jesus? See, you need to go back and remember his testimony. You need to understand that when he was born into the world, in his birth, he had a testimony of holiness. There had never been anybody born like Jesus. There had never been another man that came into the earth like Jesus. He was the representation of a holy God, giving birth to a woman that carried a holy child. And when the baby was born, Jesus had a testimony that there is holiness coming upon the earth again. In his birth, there's holiness. In his birth, there's holiness. Hallelujah. In his birth, there's holiness, church. Jesus gave a testimony of holiness. There can be and needs to be holiness in the things of God again. There can be and needs to be holiness in the heart of man again. What else about Jesus? That was his testimony. He had a testimony about his family. You know what Jesus' testimony about the family is? He brought honor to the family. How many remember in Scripture when Jesus was just a little boy? He was a lad, and he was at the temple house, and he was standing there and beginning to listen in. But even more than listening, he was beginning to teach them and confound them of the things of heaven. And all of a sudden, the parents got to looking around, where's Jesus? They had to send word back and say, we've left him behind, let's go get him. But Jesus brought some honor to the family. He brought two ways of honor to the family. When he got before his mom and dad and began to get questioned about where was you, what was going on, didn't you know that we were concerned about you, my son? What's going on? Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? The first place of honor in any family is to give God first place. The first place of honor in a testimony of family is to give God first place. Over the mom and the dad, give God place. Over the child, give God place. Over the extended family, give God first place. But you see, Jesus brought honor to family. He brought honor to his heavenly Father, but he brought honor to his earthly mother and father. You know why? Because he came when they asked him to come. He got back with the family. He began to discuss things with them. It's time that family understand that there's a testimony in Jesus, that the family begins to communicate again, and the children talk to the parents, and the parents talk to the children, and they began to realize that honor comes when God is first. I'm talking about the testimony of Jesus this morning. We've heard about the blood, and we're going to sing it. We're going to preach it. We're going to believe about the blood of Jesus. But there's a testimony in everything that Jesus did. In his birth, there's holiness. In the family, he brings honor. In the ministry, when Jesus began ministering on the earth after he had been tempted and tested there of the devil in the wilderness, everywhere Jesus ministered, he brought a brand new message. Truth. The ministry of Jesus is all about the truth. There's nothing hidden in the things of Jesus when he teaches. He didn't pull back on the multitudes that sat with him. If there was a deceiving spirit behind the multitude of people, he called it out. If there was some disruptions and things going on, Jesus began to show forth the truth in dealing with matters. Jesus' ministry is a testimony of truth. How many ministries today can testify that they're a ministry of truth. When we avoid this word of God, when we begin to prop up all of the PowerPoints that we draw up, when we begin to promote some great big revelation that we say that we heard from God, but we don't go back in the word of God and begin to search it and find out if Jesus gave testimony over that revelation or not. You see, the church age today has got to realize that in the testimony of Jesus, there comes truth. You know, there's still truth today. There's still truth today. Amen? Does anybody still believe that Jesus is true? Did he not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? And he began to change things in the world. The world was not truthful. The world was not taking care of its own. But Jesus' ministry marched in the spirit of truth. His greatest ministry message was truth. He spoke of what he heard from heaven. He spoke of what he's seen of the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so he was giving us the truth. He was letting us know that there's a spiritual world. He was letting us know on the surface we're not going to do it right. But in the spirit of life, in the spirit that he came to give us, it's all about truth. Oh, but I thought Jesus was all about the miracles. Truth, ministry, brings the witness of miracles. Jesus had truth in his spirit. He had the truth that made sure every demon, every devil knew that when he spoke, he was the truth. And there was no room left for any enemy spirit to remain. There was nothing left for them to do but to flee. Even the toughest case in Scripture that we can find about a man that had been chained to some tombs, a man that had been bound in the graveyard. Think about it, church. If you went to many of the graveyards today and wondered what it would be like to see a man that out of control, but Jesus said, hey, this is no match for me, and it's a matter of fact, there's a legion of demons in this person. But Jesus just began to say, he didn't even have to say a word to those because truth was walking by, and the demons already began to tremble. They said, have you come to torment us before our time? They were concerned because truth brings concern upon every lie, upon every spirit of evil, upon every plan to destroy. When truth walks in, the evidence of telling lies is revealed. The ministry witness and testimony of Jesus is truth. It's time for the church to sit down again and say, God, you've placed a ministry in the hands of the people. Has he not? We're all one body made up of many members, and we don't all share the same gift and same calling. But when the arm on this side hurts, the arm on this side hurts. When this arm is rejoicing, this arm ought to rejoice. See, we've been given a body ministry unto Jesus, always him remaining as the head. He is the testimony of the church. When you leave the head, when you leave him out, when you leave the things of God alone, and when you set them on the shelf, and when you kick them under the rug and get away from the things of God, you've got trouble, because truth is not going to be the ministry. His birth is holiness. In the family, he gives a witness and a testimony of honor. In his ministry, he speaks truth and gives the witness and testimony of truth. But in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. In the name of Jesus, sickness has got to run. In the name of Jesus, miracles begin to happen. In the name of Jesus, deliverance begins to take place. In the name of Jesus, lost can be found. In the name of Jesus is miracles. Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the only one. John was having a conversation here in the text this morning. He is known as the front runner. He was a baptizer. He began to baptize them in, getting them ready for the baptism of Jesus. But now John has some disciples. And they're questioning John. Hey, John, that cousin of yours, you know, that was with you on the other side of Jordan over there, you know what he's doing, John? He's baptizing. John's got a great opportunity to preach to his disciples. It's where the message comes from. And John brings it to a capsule and he tells them, hey, I remember what I've said before. I'm not even worthy to unloose the sandals on the master's feet, and you're going to come and ask me about him. They were concerned that Jesus was going to outdo John in the water baptism. Can you believe that you would get into competition with Jesus, the testimony and witness of God, if he's testifying and baptizing people? Let him be. John said, listen, I'm the one that's got to decrease. My ministry is not the ministry that's going to save the world. My ministry is not going to be the one to heal all the nations of the earth. I must decrease, and he must in the world today. He must in my life. He has to increase. In my life, I have to decrease. In your life, you have to decrease. And in your life, he has to increase. He came to be the testimony. John got it right. He said, hey, I'm just going to be the friend of the bridegroom. I'm not going to step in and steal the spotlight from Jesus. But listen, there's many times that you and I and others step into God's spotlight and begin to say, I am going to see this thing happen. I am going to see this need met. No, begin to remember what John said to his disciples, I must decrease. Church, your ways and my ways is not winning. I've still got problems in my life. You still have problems in your life. But how about letting John the Baptist preach a little bit to us this morning and say, how about, why don't you just go on and decrease a little bit more? Why don't you just go on and surrender under the ministry of Jesus and humble yourself just a little bit more so that he can increase? The word went on to say that when God gave the Holy Spirit into Jesus' life, it reads and says that the full measure was given to Jesus. His testimony was 100% true. His testimony was 100% real. His testimony was 100% genuine. His testimony was 100% full. Jesus knows it all. All things. His testimony is a testimony of all things. He knows what the Father's up to. He's been with him from the beginning. He knows what the Father's about to do. He's still with him now. He knows what the testimony of his life was to be about, because he told Pilate, for this reason, I have become a witness unto the truth, and I bear my Father's testimony this morning. So you need to think about Jesus being a testimony, not just a name from heaven in a book. He's your testimony. He's the one that you ought to look at and say, hey, if I need some honor in my family, Jesus taught me how to do that. Hey, if I need to remember about holiness, Jesus was born into holiness and brought holiness on the earth. What else is Jesus testifying to us about? He had to stand through a test and a trial. He went on trial. Things were brought against the one who is the testimony. And he came into Pilate's court. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was scourged. That's where he took his beating. That's where the crown of thorns was placed on his head. That's where they slapped his face. That's where they plucked out his beard. That's where they publicly humiliated him and put a purple robe on him. And Pilate began to march him out. But I want to tell you a message of Jesus' testimony, because it'll give you strength this morning. He was tested and he went through trial, but he, in his testing and trial, brought peace. He said in his word, I don't give you the peace that the world does, but the peace that I have, I give unto you. How can Jesus testify to a lost world and to an upside down society when there's testings on every corner? People are being dragged into courts left and right, sued over this, accused over that. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a courtroom, but church, it's not the place where you have a picnic. There's people talking about you. There's situations being raised about you. And you've got to take it. Jesus stood in the place of testing and trials and had questions asked of him. Pilate began to tell him, Jesus, they're saying that you have made yourself the Son of God. Is that true? At this point, Jesus kept his mouth shut. And Pilate began to go to him and say, Jesus, don't you know that I've got the power to have you crucified? And don't you know that I have the power to let you go? Jesus said, no. You don't have any power. Nobody has any power unless the power's been given of God, the Father in heaven. And you couldn't do these things that are about to be done unless it was so, because I am the testimony of God who knows everything. I am the testimony of God who was there in the beginning. Before there was anything created, there was God. When nothing left will be left here to live for, God will still remain. Jesus is just the testimony, verifying that God is the truth. The Bible says there in the text this morning that when you and I receive his testimony, what we're saying is we have a seal that says God is true. There's a lot of questions. Is there really a God? But you know what the world needs? They need to know the testimony of Jesus, because his testimony proves and points and gives evidence that God is God and there is no other God. The next time you're in a test, the next time you're in a trial, listen to the testimony of Jesus, because he said, I've got some peace for you right here. When do you need peace? When you're under a test, when you're under fire, when you're under a temptation, you need peace right then. But you got to know the testimony. Somebody had to be tested. Somebody had to be proved. Somebody had to go through it in order for somebody to testify and say, hey, I will make a way of escape for every situation you're faced with. That's what Jesus will do. His testimony in testing and trials is peace. Have you got that testimony of Jesus in you when you're tried and tested, tempted? The beatings that he bore on his back. It's where our healing comes from. The testimony of the stripes are not that a man got beat, are not that a Savior took a beating, but those stripes went on one back as pain and came across spiritually to yours and mine and said, in the blood stripes on his back is where your promise of healing lies. Every healing that's ever taken place in any of us, it's because his blood stripes were on his back. And his testimony is this: the stripes are not going to be the final word. The stripes are not going to be the thing that bows me down and keeps me under. If you had your back beaten the way Jesus did, you would hit the ground and never get up again. But Jesus went on, and for a distance had a wooden cross hovering over his shoulder that had been whipped on, and he carried it. Don't think about the stripes being defeat, because the testimony of those stripes in Jesus is a testimony of healing. What about his death? What is the testimony of Jesus in his death? Jesus brought a testimony to the church and the world. He began to say in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The first time for you and I to have exposure to everlasting life, it came by way of death on Jesus. Death, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, see, once you get eternal life in you, death is not the end. The testimony of Jesus' death is eternal life, because he died holy, because he died with a testimony of honor, because he died with a testimony of truth, because he died in the name of the Son of the living God, and miracles after miracles took place because he died on a Calvary's cross. That death, because he died in the spirit of miracles, because he died in the spirit of peace, because he died and was beaten for our healing, he was able to go on and be crucified and buried that we might have eternal life. That's his testimony. His death testifies that you and I can have eternal life. We can have it. Then what about the resurrection? What is the testimony of the resurrection? See, you need to know Jesus all these ways. The testimony of the resurrection of Jesus is this: restoration of faith. When you have let the rooster crow three times and denied your Lord and Savior, when you have let the storms of life rock you one way and rock you another and get you off course of serving God, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is a place of restored faith. But that's not all. A testimony is a witness. The witness of Jesus is testifying about God. What is God like? He's Jesus lived out. This resurrection of Jesus was his last testimony of proving who he was. You understand that if you don't listen and take on the testimony of holiness in his birth, if you don't listen and take hold of honor in his family, if you don't take hold and listen to the testimony of Jesus in the ministry of truth, if you don't understand and grab hold of Jesus to be in his name miracles, if you don't take on and understand that when Jesus was on testings and trials, that he brought peace upon the earth, if you don't understand the testimony that when Jesus was beat on his back, it was so that you and I can be healed, if you and I don't understand this morning that in his death he brought eternal life, you'll never get the resurrection of his testimony that says restored faith in the house of God, restored faith in the family of God, restored faith. And he says, it's the last testimony I give you. He closes the book and he says, I'm going on back into glory. World, I've given you my testimony. I've told you not my own, but I've told you what God told me to tell you. I brought a message of the kingdom, and if you deny it and refuse it, you'll never know the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, it's my last testimony to the world. Deny me at my birth. Deny me that I brought honor. Deny me that I'm the truth. Deny me that miracles happen in my name. Deny me in these things about going into trials and testings and say that I can't give peace. Deny me and say that it doesn't work. Deny me that my beating was in vain. Deny me and say that it doesn't matter. Just because Jesus was beat, that doesn't mean anything about my healing. You need a revelation. You need to know the power of the testimony. You need to let Jesus become your Lord and Savior this morning. Know that when he died, he brought eternal life to you. Know that when he was risen from the grave, he brought resurrection and restoration to faith to you. And he also said, it's my last testimony to the church. There's nothing else for me to do. Because see, when he comes back again, he's not trying to convince anybody who he is anymore. See, the testimony is saying God is God and his word is right. And Jesus lived out his testimonies and became the greatest testimony. Just like Paul said, I don't care about the excellence of speech. Paul was educated, well educated. He said, I'm not going to impress you with a lot of talk. I didn't even come with any real wisdom or knowledge, but there's only one thing I can tell you about Jesus and his crucifixion from start to finish. Have you received his testimony this morning? If you've received Jesus as your testimony, then what you have said in your heart and to the world is there's a seal on you, and God's the way of truth. There's only one God. Don't break the seal. Don't break the seal. Would you put on some music, please? We're going to take communion this morning. I want to take a minute and talk to you about this. Communion is not based on how good you've been living. See, we have to remember what the blood's about. I had sins. I had situations in my life. Church, you ought not shy away from taking communion because it's your place to remember who God is. Remember his testimony. He wants you to know his testimony this morning. Yes, it's true that there's a place in Scripture that tells us to examine ourselves. But you see, what they were doing in God's temple was there was some prejudice happening over communion. Some would come in before. Not only were they taking communion, but they would use it to make a full meal. And then when the people came into the church that were really there to honor and take communion, there wasn't anything left. God got upset about that. But see, when he says examine yourself, all that means is examine the fact that you can't save yourself. It takes a blood, a testament blood of Jesus. You're remembering that there he crucified all your sins and mine. You're remembering that there his body was abused. So like the song said, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your body has been hit by life. Your heart's been stomped. Your emotions have been torn. But God said there's only one thing to make you whole again. It comes through the blood. So when we take communion this morning, it's not based on your good works or mine. It's based on his testimony. He already did it. I want to encourage the church. Unless you're a sinner this morning, I mean a sinner that's never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If that's you, you need to accept him first. Make him your Lord. But if you have prayed and believe God to come into your heart, and you are born again, you need to take this communion this morning. We need to teach our families the sacredness of communion. the holiness. Remember, Jesus was born in holiness. There's nothing more holy than the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ. Nothing. Nothing more holy than that. And if we're going to be a church to bring honor and glory to the Lord, we need to do and remember Jesus and His testimony. That's what He said in Scripture. He wants us to do this. I want to ask, Brother Richard, would you help me this morning? Brother Dave, would you help me this morning? Would you come and serve the elements? We're going to partake together as soon as everyone has. Hallelujah. Thank you. This is that place where we need to be quiet. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Meditate on Jesus. Think of His testimony this morning. As they're passing out communion, perhaps you have not realized that in Exodus 31, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, the Scripture says in Exodus 31 that God gave Moses testimonies of tablets. See, we call them Ten Commandments, but God said, these are My testimonies. Put them on stone. Said, don't ever change the testimonies of God. Wrote on the tablets with the finger of God. That means divine, given over to those that will receive. Jesus brought heaven to us. Testimonies. Talk about what God already is. And our testimony is hid in His testimony. Whenever we've overcome sin and weakness and we testify in church, God delivered me from this. We got to testify right. Testify behind the testimony of Jesus. When the hand of deliverance has come, testify about Jesus. There's things in our lives that we've thought we were all able to overcome on our own. But the truth is, you couldn't stop any of your bad habits without the testimony of Jesus first. Neither could I. Psalms 119, I'm just going to read a few verses while the elements are still going around. Verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. Verse 24 says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Verse 59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Psalms 119, verse 119 says, thou puttest away the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. Verse 129 says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. You see, don't think of God's word as commandments and hardships, but see them as testimonies. They bring you through. They take care of you. They lead you and they guide you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to pray before we take the communion, and then as a body, I want us to stand together, read God's word, and partake sacraments today. Father, I pray this morning that we learn to forget, like Paul said, let everything go except for you, Jesus Christ, and the testimonies of God. Forgive us if there's sin in our heart today. The Bible says if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. It's as simple as asking him right now, forgive you. Do that if you need to. Ask him right now. Ask him right now if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. It's also very simple. He did all the hard work. See, all you have to do is believe that he is the Son of God. Say that. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that you need a Savior, that you're lost in your sins. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. My sins stand in the way of knowing real divine victory. I need a Savior to take them out of my way. There had to be a sacrifice. And that's what Jesus did. Receive him as your sacrifice. Father, I accept Jesus right now as my sacrifice. He paid the price and took my shame, removed my guilt and every stain. And I'm now yours, Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Give God thanks that you're born again. You've now had your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whenever the enemy comes to accuse you now, Jesus will stand up and say, but my blood is over that individual. I pray today that every believer, every person would make sure today that Jesus is Lord. He's coming very soon. It's been reported that already in the short season, there's been over 41 tornadoes. There's been cities totally destroyed. The Bible begins to tell us the birth pangs of the days of ending will begin to increase even more. Church, I can't tell you a day, but I can tell you he's getting ready. We need to be ready this morning. Let's take the communion together now. Would you please stand? All that can stand, would you please stand out of reverence for God? Reading out of Matthew chapter 26. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he broke that, and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Would you break the bread and eat the bread? And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for the remissions of sin. Would you drink the blood of Jesus this morning? Now praise him. Praise him for what he did. Praise him for the testimony that he gave you. He didn't try to fool us. He didn't try to convince us. He walked it out. He lived it before us. He brought us the truth of God. He said, I'm telling you of the kingdom to come. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. All the cares on earth have passed, evermore to rejoice. Father, we love you and we thank you today. we simply take time to remember you. We remember you. It's all about you. Lord, I need more of you in my life, less of me. We need more of you in the church house, less of individual ideas and personalities. But God, only you can bind us together. Only you can bring fellowship, church. The Holy Spirit has been working this year already to bring us into a different level of fellowship. And I want you to do your very best, if you would. Next Sunday night, would you try to be in God's house? Something came out of the men's fellowship this month. The message was confirmed about the fellowship of God. And I asked Brother Dave to prepare a message on godly fellowship. We really need it. We need to fellowship one with another. But godly fellowship. We're all too busy to waste each other's time. But godly fellowship is needed in God's house. The new church calendars are on the table. Please take bulletins. A lot of things going on. Say this with me as we dismiss. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. God bless you. Would you take time to shake someone's hand, hug their neck, let them know you love them in Christ this morning? You are dismissed.